Well, we're on. This is it. This is what you've been waiting for all week. Amen? Not me, the Holy Spirit. You haven't been waiting for me. Amen? You don't need me. Amen? You don't need to know what I have to say about anything. You need to know what the Holy Spirit has to say about everything. Amen? And I can assure you we seek Him daily through His Word and through prayer. Amen? I'll get you in trouble every time. Amen. If it was just me in the flesh up here. But I yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Look right here, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to tell you something the Holy Spirit put on my heart. I woke up the other morning. Yesterday morning, as a matter of fact. I had a message I thought I was going to be preaching. You going over there to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms. Amen. I had a message I was coming with today. And I woke up yesterday morning. And the Holy Spirit, Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms. Amen. Proverbs 3, page 790. If you have your Kenneth Copeland Bible. Amen. If you don't have Kenneth Copeland Bible, just repent and get one. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Praise be to God. Amen. I woke up yesterday morning and the Holy Spirit showed me that we're changing directions and from what I thought we were going to preach this morning. Amen. He showed me that I'm to minister to you on the subject of favor today. I'm going to be talking about supernatural favor. You need it, and you want it. You need it, and you know it. Amen? It's time to give favor, supernatural favor, the place in our lives that it deserves, if you haven't been already. And if you have been, it's time to yield to it more. Amen? It's going to take favor in this community to do the things the Lord's put on our hearts to do. But He's already given us confirmation. We got it. Amen? We need to maintain it. Amen? We'll be talking about how to get it. You know, favor is released through the mouth. Favor is released through the mouth. Didn't we just read over there for the offering, Mark chapter 11, 23, "For verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his head, but shall believe in his heart that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Amen. Jesus is saying healing is released through the mouth. Supernatural prosperity released through the mouth. Faith is released through the mouth. Favor is released through the mouth. Faith comes how? Faith works by what? And faith is released through the what? Now, that's a good 3-point sermon. You get on the phone and preach that to somebody. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith works by love, Galatians 5:6. And faith is released through the mouth, Mark 11:23, Proverbs 18:21, Matthew 12:35-37, James chapter 3. I'll stop there. And I won't run that rabbit trail. I might not find my way back. We're over here in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be talking about favor. Is everybody there in Proverbs chapter 3? Hallelujah. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody good if we don't get out till 4 o'clock today? Amen? Hallelujah. I'll have mercy on you. I'll let you out by 2. Doesn't that lighten the load a little bit right there? To know the pastor is so magnanimous. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to be preaching, the Lord showed me, right through the third chapter of Proverbs in the weeks to come. Not today. I take a couple of verses at a time. We're going to preach right through Proverbs chapter 3, and it's going to change your life forever. It is so because I say it is so. And it is so because you say it is so. Say, this is going to change my life forever. Thank you, Brother Maurice. Hallelujah. This is going to change my life forever. Can you shout forever?
Forever.
Hallelujah. No, I mean shout forever. Don't stop. And keep shouting forever like I do. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I can sing the Star Spangled Banner over and over again. And I said, well, I can sing the Stars and Stripes Forever. Okay, a little bad humor, a little pulpit humor. Hallelujah. My son, in verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days, the law of God, or we would say the word of God. Amen? Let me take a little side trail here with you. Do you see that says in verse 2, length of days and long life and peace God's word will add to you? Of course you do. You just read it with me. God's word will add length to your days. Do you know that God does not have an appointed time for you to die? Uh-oh. Am I in trouble? God does not have an appointed time for you to die. Now, He knows when you're going to go to heaven, but He doesn't appoint it. We do. Otherwise, how could it be true we can take His word and add length to our lives? If He has an appointed time, how can we add to it? He doesn't have an appointed time. He knows when it's going to happen for each one of us, but He doesn't set it. We do. As for me, I'm going to get to about 85, and then I'm going to let the Lord know if I want to stay, if Jesus hasn't come. That's what I'm shooting for personally. When I get to around 85, if I'm still wanting to be here, I'll set another date. If I'm not, I'm just going to go on home. I can do that. You can do it too. You want some more proof? Look at Proverbs chapter 9. We just read right here that the word of God will lengthen your days and lengthen your life and also lengthen your peace. Give you peace. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Now, we're talking about favor here today, but I want you to see this. Amen. To encourage you. To know that you're going to be here when it's not who you think it is comes. And if you're listening to us by tape or by radio, electronically or otherwise, you don't know what we're talking about. So there. Something we talked about earlier. Someone's coming, amen, and I'm not at liberty to say who it is. Glory be to God. But everybody in Massachusetts and New England will know when it happens, amen. They'll know before it happens because we'll put it on the radio. Are you over there in Proverbs chapter 9? We're talking about the Word of God adding length to your life. Look, verse 11. For by me, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit of God, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. How can you take God's word and multiply the days of your life and increase your time on this earth if He's got a set time for you to die? I don't like that word die and dead anyway, amen? He doesn't have a set time for you to travel on. He knows when the time is, but He didn't set it. You set it. We set it. Amen? Can you see that? You can multiply your time on the earth. You can increase your time on the earth. The Word of God will add length to your life. Some of you folks waking up on the Monday morning and wondering, is it going to be this week? Want to make it through Christmas? Yes! If you want. How long you want to go? I don't see anybody in this room who doesn't have decades left if you don't want it. If you want it. Unless, of course, you don't want it. That's a good word. That's Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Amen? And Josh, we'll get to you shortly here today because the Lord has a word for you today. And you're going to like it. Amen? Hallelujah. Go back there to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go to this one right here. Amen? See, Josh is young. You got a long, long way to go if Jesus tarries. Amen? Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, not 3. I got another one I want to share with you here too. I'm just kind of being led by the Holy Spirit here today. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 10. Hear, O my son and daughter. Amen? Don't be offended when the Bible doesn't say daughter and it says son. Don't be offended when it says man and it doesn't say woman. They're generic terms. And you know what I'm going to say right now, for the sake of those who haven't heard it before. If you are a woman, you are a man. You are a man with a womb. That's why you're a womb man. But you're a man. Man and woman created he, him, the Bible says in the book of Genesis. Amen? You're a man if you're a woman. Seated at the Father's right hand, if I may, in Ephesians chapter 2. You are God's right-hand man. You're seated at the Father's right hand in Christ. You're His right-hand man in the earth. Amen. Hear, O my son and daughter, receive my sayings. In the years of thy life shall be many. If by hearing God's word, properly taught and preached, if by meditating on God's word in your own private time, you can add many years to your life, how could it be that God has appointed a time for you to travel on? I just don't see it. What I see is God knows when it's going to happen for each one of us, but He's not setting it. We are. He knows the date that we've appointed. Somebody said, but the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. In Hebrews 9:27, somebody said that to me one time when I was preaching about how you can add years to your life. I said, yeah, it does say that in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die. It just means you're just going to do it once and no more. It doesn't mean when. It doesn't mean you have an appointment, as in a set day and date, that it's going to happen. It means that all men, if Jesus tarries, are appointed to step through that veil of death and arrive on the other side. Only one time. People try to emphasize the appointment instead of the one. It's appointed unto man once to die. Amen? Glory be to God. When you get to heaven, you'll go, whoo! I'm glad I don't have to go through that again. Hallelujah. So can you see that? But we're not talking about that this morning. We're not talking about adding years to your life. We're talking about favor. So go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Did you get anything out of that? You need to be encouraged. Amen? You need to be encouraged. And even when the time does come, it's just a simple stepping through the veil. I've told you before, death, as it's called, oh, I don't like that word, because it speaks of cessation of life, and it's not. Amen? When that time comes, it's just a simple stepping through the veil. There'll be grace for it. Supernatural. So why bother worrying? Why spend your life worrying what it's going to be like when that hour comes? All you need to know is there'll be grace for it. Grace is God's ability in you. That's what this word grace means. God's ability in you to do what you aren't able to do. You'll be able to do at that time that which you are not able to do when the time comes. Corrie Ten Boom said to her father as a little girl, 10 or 11 years old, she said, Father, what is it like to die? I'm afraid. I don't want to die. What is it like to die? And she said, and he told her, well, God will give you grace when it comes time to die. He'll give you grace. And she wasn't getting it, and he knew it. So he said, Corey, when we go to Amsterdam on the train, do I give you the ticket days before we go? When do I give you the ticket? And she said, Papa, just before we get on the train, you hand me the ticket. And he said, Corey, when it comes time to go to heaven, Father God will hand you the ticket. He'll give you the grace. He said, why don't I give you the ticket before we go to Amsterdam? And she said, because we don't need it before then. And he said, you don't need grace before then. And when the time comes, Papa God will hand you the grace. Be easy. Easy. Smooth as oil. Amen? Hallelujah. Dying's not all it's cracked up to be. Amen? Hallelujah. So you need to know that today. Amen? You're going to be here for a while. Are you listening up? Amen? You're going to be here for a while. There's nobody in this room whose time is at hand. Nobody. If you don't want it to be, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Amen? Add years to your life. Future's bright. The glory of God is at hand. Hallelujah. Oh, I love preaching my Father's word. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about favor here today. Amen. My son, Proverbs chapter 3, did you get anything out of that? Forget not my law, keep thine heart, let thine heart keep my commandments. See, you have to let your spirit do it. Your flesh and your mind doesn't want to do it all the time. You have to let your heart take over. Amen. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee, my word, my commandments. And look right here. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. This is what we're going to talk about briefly this morning. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Meditate on the word. Get it on the inside of you. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Let me paraphrase that for you. Let not mercy and truth escape you, and you will find supernatural favor with God and with man. Let not mercy and truth get away from you. That means walk in love even when those times come when you would prefer anything else to it. Just do it. Just walk it out. Go through the motions. Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Amen. Don't retaliate when people come against you. Amen. And sometimes, you know, the easiest way you can walk in love towards some people is to walk away from those people. Just avoid them. The Bible says in Romans 16:17, mark those who cause divisions amongst you and avoid them. That's okay. You don't have to let people into your life, into the holy of holies of your life who don't walk in love. Avoid them. Amen? Do whatever it takes to stay out of strife with people. Forsake not mercy. That's walking in love. And truth. Just telling the truth. It's the truth of God's word. Obey the truth of God's word. But tell the truth too. Paul said, gird your loins with truth. Lying ain't going to get it here. There's no place for lying in Scripture. Amen? Liars have no inheritance, the Bible says in multiple places. 1 Corinthians 6, Revelation chapter 20, 21. Liars have no inheritance. Amen? We all have to deal with telling the truth, don't we? Amen? We're all tempted to lie. Even Jesus was tempted to lie. Not my Jesus! Well, then your Jesus isn't my Jesus. Apparently my Jesus made your Jesus. Your made-up Jesus. Because my Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, was tempted in all points just like you and I, yet without sin. I said he was tempted to lie. I never said he did lie. He came here to experience what it's like to be a human being so he can have mercy on us. Amen? I'm talking about lying. Amen? Fight back and say no when the temptation comes to tell a lie. And you will find supernatural favor with God and with man. It's a supernatural principle. That's why the devil wants people out there telling lies. Wants to cut off your favor flow. He doesn't want favor to have the place in your life that it deserves. Amen? So if you've, you know, told a lie, just repent. Just repent, that's all. Amen? Confess our sins. He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stick with love. Stick with truth. Repent when you blow it. God is not concerned with how often we fall. He's concerned with how often we're going to get up. David said, he knows my frame. He remembers I'm dust. Are you going to repent when you blow it, or are you going to lay there beating yourself up and not receiving God's favor? Amen? So just repent when you blow it. We all make mistakes. Amen? We all make mistakes. Even Barbara makes mistakes. Amen? Hallelujah. I can bear witness. Hallelujah. I live with her. Amen? Maurice, does Barbara make mistakes? Sure, Barbara? Very few. But I bet she repents when she does. Immediately. You know how long it takes to get right with God? Can you snap your fingers? Do that. Everybody snap. Okay, I'm going to ask the question, you answer it like with a snap. Get your hands up. How long does it take to get right with God? Oh God, forgive me. In Jesus' name, get up and start moving and grooving again. Amen. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Amen. Okay, so we've dealt with the lion factor. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm being... Praise the Lord. Well, no, absolutely. Just ask forgiveness for the whole mess. Just like that. Amen? Just, Father, forgive me. Amen? Walk in mercy and truth, and you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Let me tell you what that word favor means. It means graciousness, if you want to write it down in your notes. It means graciousness. It means kindness. Graciousness and kindness. God will show us graciousness and kindness if we'll walk in faith, if we'll walk in truth, if we'll walk in love, and if we'll repent when we blow it. It also means you'll like this. If you want to write it down, to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior being. To bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior being. God says, if you will walk in love and truth. Now, nobody's going to get this perfect. We're going to have to repent on a daily basis. Amen? We're going to have to plead the blood every day. We're human beings. We're going to stumble. But the Bible says even though you stumble, you won't be cast headlong. Just get forgiveness. Plead the blood every day. The blood is sufficient for every darling dumb mistake. We're all learning how to live with our humanity, including the pastor. Amen? I repent every day before God. To bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior being. If we will walk in love, if we will walk in truth, if we'll plead the blood when we miss it, God will stoop in kindness to us as inferior beings and show us His supernatural favor as we sojourn on this earth. Isn't that something? You know, God bent Himself over and stooped in kindness when He became as one of us and allowed His Son to come here and bear the penalty for our sin. What a gentle God. What a loving God. That's why I hammer on the wrath of God lie that we've been hearing since we've been here on Cape Cod. I put that television on the local Channel 17 and more of those preachers are preaching the wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God. So I just get down there, each time I get down there, I say, okay, I'm going to do 2 broadcasts today. I'm going to do 3 broadcasts today. I'm going to tell them all about the love of God. The love of God. Amen. That's how I retaliate with God's word. Amen. God is love. He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, not wrath. God's looking to bless us. He's not looking to get us. If He was looking to get us, He'd have gotten us all by now. How often have I said that? I'll say it again. If He was looking to get us, He'd have gotten us all by now. We're not that smart. He's not that dumb. He'd have gotten us by now. He's not looking to get us. He's looking to bless us. Paul called Him in 2 Corinthians 1:3. He said He's the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. He desires to show us favor. Amen. He desires to bend and stoop in kindness to us. Amen. It also means to be fair and to be kind. To give. To deal. To grant, to show mercy, and to have pity. Who? Well, Lord, how many could use more people treating them more kindly, more fairly, more mercifully, even with tender pity when you need it? Amen? It's a cold, cruel world out there. That's why Paul said Satan's the god of this world. Amen? All the problems in the world aren't God's fault. They're Satan's fault. Jesus said the thief, Satan, came to kill, to steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? God's looking to bless us, not damn us. He's the blesser, He's not the dammer. He's our solution, He's not our problem. And He loves us. And He wants to show us tender pity and mercy and kindness. He wants to grant blessings to us, and He wants other people to do it on our behalf as well. Isn't that what He did with Israel in Exodus chapter 12, right around verse 35 or 36? It says, when Israel was leaving Egypt, God gave the Israelites such tremendous favor with the Egyptians that they gave them all of their gold, all of their silver implements, and gold woven clothing as departure gifts, parting gifts, if I may. Amen? That's what it says in Exodus chapter 12, 35 and 36. That was supernatural. They worked 400 years for nothing. And on the day of their escape, God gave Israel such favor with Egypt, they said, here, take it, we want you to have it. And they walked out of there with enough silver and gold to buy everything they needed to build the tabernacle, the traveling tabernacle in the wilderness, to buy everything that they had need of from all their enemies around them. Amen? What a wonderful parting gift. All the gold and silver. And he did it by giving supernatural favor to Israel with the Egyptians. The same God. He said in Malachi 2:6, I am God, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to give you favor with the world to build the kingdom of God. He wants to give you such favor with the world that supernaturally people will give you things. That the bank will call and say, you know that loan, every once in a while we like to do something kind for somebody. We're canceling your debt. We hear these things all the time. Hospital bills being paid. Every once in a while we like to bless somebody. I say, God, you're going to bless somebody. It might as well be me. Respectfully, I have supernatural favor. I don't forsake mercy and truth. Therefore, I find favor with God and with man. That's why the telephone rang in Shaw's grocery store last Wednesday night at 9:30. And the man on the other end said, Brother John, we be coming. And it's not going to cost you a thing. Favor! Because we walk in faith, we walk in love, and we walk in truth, even when those times come when we would prefer anything else to it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just have to squint your eyes, grit your teeth, clench your fists, and just, I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours. Hallelujah. It's supernatural. God does the rest. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is good stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Psalm chapter 5 real quick. Psalms chapter 5. We're talking about supernatural favor. Amen? God gave it to Israel. God's given it to you if you believe. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants to put in your pocket what he put in Israel's pocket for the building of the tabernacle. He wants to put it in your pocket supernaturally for the building of his temple, his human temple in these last days. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, you're not going there. Peter said the temple today is built of lively stones, living human beings. Amen. In the same way that God built the tabernacle, that God financed the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the one that was built with hands, he wants to finance the building of his human tabernacle, his human family today. If he knows he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Amen. Pastor, you say that all the time. Well, it's because faith comes by hearing. Amen? 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 He wants to get into your pocket what it's going to. The gospel's free, but it ain't cheap. Count how many times I said ain't, because I can do it 3 times per service. He wants to put the financing in your pocket, in my pocket, to seek and save the lost, to destroy the works of the devil, and that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm not talking ostentatious lifestyles. That'll get you in trouble real quick, amen? I'm not talking about greed. I'm talking about faith to finance the end time harvest, amen? God wants to do it, and it all starts with favor right here in Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Oh, but Pastor, I'm just a squishy old worm. I'm not righteous. If you're born again, you're righteous. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Look at that. God says he will compass you with favor as a shield if you're born again. If you're the righteousness of God. And if you're born again, you are the righteousness of God. I know you don't always feel like it. I know you don't always act like it. And neither do I. But we are the righteousness of God by faith. And because we are surrounded with supernatural favor as with a shield. Barbara says as with a force field. As with a force field, Barbara says. Amen? You're surrounded with it, but it won't go to work for you if you refuse to walk in mercy and truth. If you refuse to walk in love, and if you refuse to walk in the truth of God's word, if you refuse to gird your loins with truth, and if you refuse to tell the truth, it won't work for you. But if you walk in love, and if you walk in the light of God's word, and you'll speak the truth in love, and you won't be a liar. Amen? And I know nobody in here is a liar. Amen? But we all have to resist lying, and this is what the Holy Spirit's dealing with me right now. Let me just tell you a little illustration, a little story about a friend from Las Vegas who called us on the telephone one time and told us, this woman is a minister of the gospel, a precious friend of ours for many years, and her husband became addicted to drugs. And he had to go into drug rehab, and he had a really good job, a really good paying job, and they had insurance on him. But somebody told her, as he was going into the drug rehab, he wasn't walking in the light of the word the way his wife was. He ended up in a big stinking mess. It's a whole other story how he ended up involved in drugs. He ended up involved in drugs because he had a friend who was involved in drugs, and he ridiculed him, ridiculed him, ridiculed him. And guess who became addicted to drugs? The ridiculer. Ooh. You don't want to be critical of people who are having troubles because you opened the door to the same troubles in your life, James said. Amen. Well, he ended up addicted to drugs. He had to go into drug rehab. We're talking about walking in truth and talking about and walking in love and in truth in order for favor to work for you. This woman minister called, said, what do? I have to go to an interview. He's already in drug rehab. My insurance will cover it. If when they ask me, did he do drugs on the job, I say no. If I tell them he used drugs on the job, my insurance won't cover his drug rehabilitation. And he was using drugs on the job. What do? I've been advised during that session to not tell the truth. What do? I said, well, you know, it only takes one eye and half a brain to figure that one out. You got to tell the truth. And I took the sister over here to Proverbs 3:3-5, and I showed her that the Bible says, if you will not forsake mercy and truth, you will find supernatural favor with God and man. And she said, okay, I'm going to do it. During the interview, I'm going to tell them when they ask me, has he been using drugs on the job? I'm going to tell them yes. Even though I'm told, if I do that, the insurance won't work for him, and he'll lose his paychecks. See, he was going to be able to keep his paychecks if he wasn't doing drugs on the job. She said, during the interview, I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm going to expect supernatural favor. She called me back probably days later, and she said, Brother John, I went to the interview. They asked me if he was using drugs on the job, and I said yes. And they said, okay. Filled out yada, yada, yada. Gave her back all the paperwork, and she found supernatural favor for telling the truth. Her insurance paid for the drug rehab, and the company that he was working for, doing drugs on the job, kept sending the paychecks. A supernatural favor. God said if you refuse to forsake mercy and truth, walk in love, walk in the truth of God's word, don't lie when you're tempted to, repent if you do, and you'll find supernatural favor with God and man. Isn't that wonderful? That's supernatural. Hallelujah. Will that work for me? Absolutely it'll work for you. Amen. Amen? Truth-telling's always the way to go. Acts 10:34, the Apostle Peter said, I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of persons. What God does for one, He desires to do for. He's a good father. He doesn't show favor to some children and disfavor to others. That's not love. Earthly parents do that. But God doesn't do that. He won't do that to you. Paul said in Romans 2:11, he also said what Peter said. God is no respecter of persons. Walk in love, walk in truth, repent if you blow it, get up, keep believing God. You'll find supernatural favor in your community, at the bank, with the doctor, with the lawyer, with politicians, with family, with friends, with loved ones, your mate, your children. It'll work for you supernaturally. That's what we just read. Proverbs chapter 3, 3-5. Amen. Favor is released through the mouth. Amen. Stop saying, I'll never get that promotion. Every time a promotion comes around, it goes to somebody else, not me. Don't talk like that anymore. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 10 real quick. We'll look at a couple more scriptures here, and then I'm going to lay my hands on you and pray for you. And there's going to be an impartation of supernatural favor here today. Amen? Hallelujah. You need favor tomorrow, Josh, and you're going to have it. Amen? Tuesday. You need it tomorrow, too. But you'll have it Tuesday as well. Amen? Hallelujah. You have need of favor. Everyone in this room has need of favor to accomplish the perfect will of God for their lives. Whether it comes to soul winning, witnessing the people, you want people to listen to you. You want people to be drawn to you like a magnet, don't you? Don't you want to be a people magnet? And don't you want to be a money magnet? Oh, money, come in Jesus' strong name. That's what Barbara and I say about ourselves. We are people in money magnets. That's what we say. We are people in money magnets. You want to know Barbara's nickname for me? Because Jesus said we can have what we say. You know what Barbara calls me as a nickname occasionally? Cash. Hey, Cash. Listen, Abram's name was Abram. God said, I'm changing that to Abraham because that means father of many nations. And every time somebody says, hey, Abraham, they're saying, hey, father of many nations. Amen. God got everybody in Abraham's world of influence prophesying the fact that it was God's will for him to be the father of many nations just by changing his name. We saw that and said, it's my new name, Johnny Cash. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are we? Look right here. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy, you know that word is spirit, heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Look at that. The word of faith is in your mouth and it needs to be coming out your mouth. Amen? That's how you get saved, isn't it? Verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved because you confessed it with your mouth. Amen? Salvation comes out of your mouth. Healing comes out of your mouth. Favor comes out of your mouth. That's what the Bible says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And that word salvation is soteria, and it means to be blessed supernaturally in every realm of your existence. It doesn't just mean to be born again. It's talking about being blessed emotionally, socially, financially, physically, in every realm of your existence. Faith is released through the mouth. You getting anything out of this today? A little bit, maybe? Amen? That's how faith works. Amen? We already read Mark 11. We don't have to do that. Go to Matthew chapter 12 real quick. Look at some scriptures with me. I'm going to pray for you. Amen? You got to stay positive. You got to watch what you say. Jesus said it, not me. Amen? I didn't write that. Jesus wrote that. I just preach it. And as I always say, I'm good, but I'm not that good. I didn't write it, amen? I just preached the principles, amen? Look at over here what Jesus said in Matthew 12. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart, the Spirit bringeth forth good things. The good treasure that's in your heart is God's Word. Put the Word of God in you, speak it out of your mouth, and you bring forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure, you know, porno and rag mags at the grocery store, that trash you can get in the stupid soap operas on TV, and you put that junk in, you start talking adultery, premature death, sickness, and cancer. Jesus said, whatever you put, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Whatever you put in the inside of you is going to come out of your life and come out your mouth. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs 23:7, he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And you're over there in Matthew 12, I know that you are. Amen. You're following me, aren't you? As a man thinketh in his heart, Solomon said, Proverbs 23:7, so he is. Why? Because if you say what you think, it'll come to pass in your life. Think good things about yourself. Meditate on the Word of God. Think righteous thoughts. Think favor thoughts. Think healing thoughts. Meditate on prosperity thoughts, because Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, because it comes out of his mouth. Whatever you put in, garbage out. Righteousness in, righteousness out. This is how it works. This is how God does everything. Everything God did in the creation account of Genesis, he did by the words of his mouth, didn't he? And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And right there, that's 11 times in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God said, and something came to pass. And in the same chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, he said, you are created in the image and in the likeness of God. So if God does things with his mouth, then we do things with our mouth. We walk in truth. We walk in love. We decree supernatural favor. We find supernatural favor. People just are just predisposed to jump over others and just get to you and give it to you. To listen to you when you speak the gospel. But you have to speak it out your mouth. Favor, 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 Jesus said. Favor is released through the mouth. Faith is released through the mouth. You can't just be sitting there silently thinking you have favor. go walk around saying it. That's what we do. We drive around in the car talking favor. Favor, favor.
Amen.
It works, too. It's why you like me. I don't care if you don't like me. I'm yours. But you do like me. And I like you. You have favor with me. That's what we say. We love these folks, and they love us. We have favor with them. They have favor with us. And God, you're working everything out. That's how it works. That's how you get in the blessing flow. That's how the blessings of Abraham come into our lives in abundance. Amen. Verse 36, I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. We've got to watch our words. Speak favor, find favor. Amen. And you don't have to be special for this to work for you. Amen. You can have physical handicaps, financial handicaps, emotional handicaps. No matter what kind of limitations you might have in life, you can speak faith. This isn't just for the smart and the strong. This is for all who will believe. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to all who will believe. Do you believe favor is the will of God for you today? According to Proverbs chapter 3 and in Psalm chapter 5, there's your two witnesses I gave you that God wants to give you favor. I also gave you Exodus 12:36. That's a third witness that God gave Israel favor with the Egyptians. Jesus said, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. I just gave you three witnesses in context. God wants you to have favor, therefore you should know it is the will of God. Start speaking it. I have favor. I have favor. In every realm of my existence, I have supernatural favor. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:29, He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. You don't have to be strong for this to work for you. Amen? You don't have to be perfect for this to work for you. You don't have to be smart. Case in point, right up here behind the podium. Case in point. You don't have to be smart for this to work for you. It's working for me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the draw. Now watch what you say about yourself, Pastor. I do. I do. But at the same, you know, I know who I am in Christ, but I never forget who I am outside of Christ either. I know God called me because I'm foolish, weak, base, and despised. And He said to me one day, forget that, and darkness will cover your eyes. I don't have any right to glory in God's presence. Amen. God didn't call me because I'm special. If I have special anything, it's special ignorance. God called me because everybody would know. At least anybody who knew me previously would know. That ain't Hamill. That's got to be God. Amen. Hallelujah. Talking to you, Joshua. Hallelujah. Listen, God will turn you into a bulldozer, a human bulldozer, amen? A mountain thresher who grinds up problems with the words of your mouth if you'll speak supernatural favor into your life, amen? Let me just read to you, you know, you remember Joseph, what his brothers did to him? Huh? Nice family? Huh? What a rotten family Joseph came out of, amen? God gave Joseph favor with his father Jacob. Persecution rode right in on the tail of it with his brothers. They threw him in the pit. Satan tried to steal his favor. What'd God do? He gave him favor with Potiphar. Came up a little higher. Potiphar's wife persecuted him, falsely accused him, lost his favor. What did God do? Took him up higher! Vice president of the world. Listen what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, 21. You don't have to turn there. We don't have time. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph made that man, the keeper of the prison. Hallelujah. The prison master didn't even know what was going on in that prison. Joseph had such favor with him, he just left the prisoners everything to Joseph. Joseph ran the prison. He ran the prison. Joseph had such favor with Potiphar, he ran Potiphar's entire household. Potiphar was wealthy, but only because Joseph made him wealthy through the favor of God. Potiphar just there was something so supernatural happening with Joseph, causing financial increase to come to Potiphar's house. Potiphar just stopped trying to keep up with it. He said, you just take care of it. And Joseph was his prisoner. The Bible says Joseph knew what Potiphar was worth and Potiphar didn't. He just trusted him with everything. That's supernatural favor. And then he also gave the same favor to Joseph with Pharaoh. And he ended up running the world. And as a result, he saved the entire nation of Israel from genocide, all through supernatural favor being granted, because Joseph kept a positive mental attitude, a positive spiritual attitude, and watched the words of his mouth. Amen? You know, that's what Esther did. We don't have time to go over there today. That's what Esther did. You know, the Persians and the Midianites hated Jews, particularly Jewish women. They despised them. Esther was a Jew. She watched her words. She watched her attitude. She became the queen of Persia. The Persian king married that little Jew girl because she wasn't going to let a little bit of hatred get her off track. And look, let me just read it to you. It says in Esther chapter 2, verse 17. You'll want to look this up later. We're going to have to close here. The king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, the Persian. That's supernatural. And here again, a case of God giving a person supernatural favor to protect Israel from mass genocide. As a result of the favor that God gave to Esther, she was able to intervene on behalf of Israel with the king and prevent Haman, who had been given permission by the king to kill every Jew in the country. Through the favor that God gave Esther, the king's decree was overturned and Israel was saved once again. Amen? God wants to give you that kind of favor with people so you can reach the world for him. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. God wants you to have favor. Amen. Amen. Do you believe it? He wants you to have favor with your mate. He wants you to have favor with your family. He wants you to have favor with strangers. He wants you to have favor throughout the community, with the bank, with political leaders, and all your relationships. He wants you to have favor with your animals. He wants you to have favor at the grocery store. He wants you to have favor at the car dealership. He wants you to have favor with your employer. He wants you to have favor with your employees. Amen? Listen, God, I've used this with animals that were turning on me, and I've claimed animals! The four-legged kind, not the two-legged kind. We're not animals anyway. Amen? We didn't come from apes. My uncle's not an ape. I've used this with animals who didn't like me, and I claimed favor with them. Found the spirit of Satan in them, claimed favor with the animal, and that thing's just closing right up to you, next thing you know. It works. It works. It's a spiritual principle. Forsake not mercy and truth, and you will find favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay hands on you now. Amen. God wants to give you a special impartation of favor. But not just so you can prosper. So you can prosper, yes. But so that you can prosper, so that you can plunder hell and populate heaven. You need favor to preach the gospel in this earth. You need favor on the job. Amen? I've been on jobs where you don't get a raise for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Get a raise in 3 weeks. I worked on a job one time, and I just started out as a stinking water boy, watering plants in Las Vegas, Nevada. When I had my experience, the Albuquerque fire pit, if you haven't read that on the website, you need to read that at johnhamelministries.org. When I had that experience, when I was working for big name entertainers, and the Holy Spirit of God visited me in my hotel room and told me, get out of that business and get out of it quick, and I did. I went into Las Vegas to go to, that's where I was working out of. I worked for Wayne Newton out of Caesar's Palace and toured the country driving his semi-trucks, and the Holy Spirit told me, get out of that business. I worked for other big name entertainers as well, but I was in Las Vegas at the time. We were down, he was doing a show in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the Spirit of God himself visited me in my hotel room, and you need to read the Albuquerque Fire Pit on johnhamelministries.org if you're listening to us by internet or by radio, even here in this room if you haven't read it, and you'll see how the Lord ministered to me, spoke to me, came to me, spoke to me through his audible voice, and I got out of that industry butt quick. I went back to Las Vegas, which was our base of operation. I wouldn't even drive the semi-truck home. I called the manager, Wayne's manager, and I told him, I had a visitation of God. I'm sure that went over big. The keys are in the truck. I'm not even driving the truck back. The Lord told me, don't even touch the equipment anymore. I got on an airplane, flew back to Las Vegas, got involved in a church and a Bible school out there. This is 25 years ago now. I took a job. I'm talking about favor. I took a job in a nursery watering plants in the desert so that I could have time to pray in tongues every day. The guy said to me, you sure you want this job? It's 4 to 6 hours of standing here with the hose going from pot to pot over the whole property watering all. I said, I want the job! So I could just stand there and pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Broke siki peruto siki peridiste. Kambaro daso. Make sure there's no customers. Broke siki peranda. Praying out the will of God. I did that for 3 weeks. The manager came to me and he said to me 3 weeks later, he said, I'm leaving. You want my job? I said, I'll take it. He said, I think I'm supposed to give it to you. I said, I don't doubt it. I was the manager of that. It was a huge nursery in Las Vegas, Nevada, right out there on Boulder Highway. I took over the whole operation in three weeks' time. Just standing there praying in tongues for my future ministry. Amen. Rose me up. I ended up the manager of that place. Another fella gave me a motorhome. He said, why don't you take my motorhome down there and park it down there and just live down there. You don't have to pay rent somewhere. This is what I believe the Lord wants me to do. I said, I don't doubt it. He brought the motorhome and parked it in the nursery. And I lived in that little motorhome running that whole nursery. I'm sitting in the motorhome one morning. Another brother comes up and knocks on the door about 6:45. I'm in there praying in the Spirit. Because I didn't get to pray in the Spirit watering the plants anymore. I was running the whole operation now, so I'd get up early and pray in tongues in the motorhome. 6:45, 15 minutes before opening time. Open up the door. There's a man standing there with the key. A key put in my face. He said, the Lord told me to give you this. So where's it go to? He said that. His motorcycle. The Lord told me to. I said, I don't doubt it. The Lord promoted me to manager in 3 weeks. Gave me a motorhome to live in so I wouldn't have to spend my rent money because I knew I was going to be going out to Tulsa the following spring to go to Bible school. And gave me a motorcycle. Just gave it to me. I never asked these people for anything. I just walked in mercy and truth, prayed in the Spirit, and confessed supernatural favor. God will do the same for you. He's done it time. And then when I did go to Bible school, glory be to God, we have to go home, and I get so much to say. When I did finally get out there, the day I arrived, I'm riding my motorcycle. We brought myself and another guy brought our motorcycles out there in a U-Haul truck. Oklahoma hailstorm. Pulled into a car wash. Went in the store, touched to the car wash. The woman said to me, where are you coming from? And I spoke and I said, Las Vegas, whatever, I'm here to go to school. Where's that accent from? I said, well, Massachusetts. She said, are you going over here to Rhema Bible Training Center? I said, yeah, I am. She said, can you come back here tomorrow? I said, yeah. Okay. She said, I want to talk to my husband about you. I said, okay. So I went back tomorrow. She said, I talked to my husband. And we've been believing for a Rhema student to come through here who needs housing and wants their rent to be paid for the first year. And I talked to my husband, and I didn't even know this woman from Eve. Confessing supernatural favor. You getting anything out of this? I lived in that house for a year, rent-free, my own bedroom, my own bathroom, and they fed me and paid my first year's tuition. Woo! I never asked them for nothing. Within 24 hours of arriving in Tulsa, I'm in their home. The next year, I went to rent another place. It was just a one-year deal. They had a situation I had to go on. It was a good deal, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, did I tell you? Another person loaned me a vehicle, because all I had out there was my motorcycle. Loaned me their vehicle. They said, use this when you're through the school. Give it back to me. Loaned me a nice vehicle for 2 years. So I had a motorcycle and a Volkswagen bus. I didn't ask anybody for anything. God did this for me. Second year, moved in with another family. Looked in the newspaper, found a place, so much money per week to live with a room and a bath and a private entryway. A guy worked at the City of Faith Hospital. So I agreed to go into this, live in that room, second year of school, you know, and I was going to take a job, pay my tuition. God had other plans. Every time I go to pay the rent to these people, their names were the Wakefields, David and Judy Wakefield, 1304 West Edgewater Street, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I'd go to pay the rent. He wouldn't take it. Week after week after week after week, he wouldn't take the rent. Not only would he not take the rent, he started giving me money. He said, put this on your tuition. Paid my tuition the second year. Hallelujah. That's supernatural favor. I never told them anything. I never asked them for anything. True? Am I telling the truth? Or am I lying and I have to repent and favor won't work for me? I'm telling you the truth. Let's stand up. God wants to impart to you supernatural favor. Say, this is good.
This is good.
This is good. The future is bright. The glory of God is at hand. Yes, the pastor went a little long today. Go ahead, you can say that. Yes, the pastor went a little long today. But it's worth it.
It's worth it.